Last we left you, last I left you, we were in the middle of chapter 1, in the middle of Perek Aleph, and we were discussing the fact that David's son, Adoniah, had decided that, he'd like to be king. And he had some nice qualities. He was good looking. He was good looking. And he was good looking. Right. Kind of like Warren Harding. He gets together some of the cronies from his father's old gang, most specifically Yoav ben Tzeruya. What was Yoav's job for David?
He was a
soldier. No, was he?
Well,
what was he?
He was a general.
Chief of staff of the army. Chief of staff of the armed forces. So I'm going to have to apologize, but I'm smack in the middle, almost at the end of my Abraham Lincoln book called Team of Rivals, about the Civil War, so I will have to make numerous references to it because it's fascinating to me. So Abraham Lincoln had the head of his War Department. Basically, the entire tenure of Lincoln's presidency was the Civil War. Well, as soon as he got in office, even before there was secession, his whole job was dealing with the Civil War, more or less. His War Department was run by a man named Edwin Stanton, who was a very, very powerful, strong man, Stanton. And a lot of people like to say that, and the book says this is not true, that Stanton was the power behind Lincoln, that Lincoln relied upon Stanton, and he made the calls as opposed to Lincoln himself. And there's always that danger, especially in wartime, in a time of war, who has the power, who has the control, who's really running the show? The guy that runs the army. So... Yeah, but could you say, the best example of that would be during World War II, when Truman took over for Roosevelt, after Roosevelt died, who was running the army? MacArthur came, right, and MacArthur did all kinds of crazy things that he should have gotten fired, except... He was more powerful than Truman to some degree. And finally, when they fired MacArthur, it was like this whole tumult. Is the country going to go on? What are you going to do? So it's very, very feasible that Yoav had a tremendous amount of power. And we're going to go back and talk about that. If you get sick of my references to American history, just let me know. Anyway, okay. We're on Pasukim, Perek Aleph Pasukim. Yoav killed Avshalom, but he also killed other people. We'll see. We saw that he killed other people. We're going to see that hopefully today. But he did not call Natan Hanavi, the prophet Natan. So Natan Hanavi was the very famous prophet who castigated David for the sin of Bathsheba. So we already know that Natan Hanavi, he's an upstanding prophet. Why? Because if you're going to slap the king upside the head for the biggest mistake he made and let him have it for what he deserves.
He's still sitting there,
so Natan HaNavi is an honest guy. Lo and behold, Natan HaNavi is not called to show up at Adoniyahu's party. Sorry, he is not invited. You got a book? Great. Okay. Because you get out of it. Yomer Natan el Bathsheba. Ein Shlomo Lemor. But Natan says to Bathsheba, hey, hello Shamat. Ki malach Adoniyahu ben Chagit. Did you know that Adoniyahu has become king? Va'adoneinu David lo yada, and David doesn't know. Va'atah l'chi atsheich na'etza. I'm going to give you some advice. U'malkiyat na'sheich v'nefesh b'neich Shlomo, and you can save your neck and the neck of your son Shlomo. We're in Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud Gimel.
He's not really king yet, though, is he? I mean, he's not.
Well, so what does he mean when he says that he became king? That he's Malach Adoniyahu. You're right, he hasn't become king.
He's making noises about becoming king.
Right, he is trying as hard as he can to be king. And that's a big deal. So did you know that? And obviously, as we learned last week, what happens when Adoniyahu becomes king? What happens to Shlomo and Bathsheba? Right, see, yeah, it's nice knowing you. Okay. I'll give you advice. You can save your life and the life of your son Shlomo. You're Gimel. L'chi uboi el HaMelech David. Go and come to the king, the Amat Elav, and say to him, "Hello, Ata Adoni Hamelach Nisbad LaAmat Chalemor. Hey, King, didn't you swear? Shlomo Benechimoch Achalai. Ruyezev Alkisi. Didn't you promise me that Solomon would be the king and that he shall ascend the throne? Umadu Amalach Adoniyahu. What's going on? How come Adoniyahu got the job? You're Dalin." As you are speaking with the king, ואני אבוא אחרייך ומילאתי ומילאתי את דברייך. I'm going to come and I'll fill in the words. So what's the plan?
I'll come in and support you and tell them the real, you know. And I'll come in and say, ooh, did you hear what's happening? I have two very simple fundamental questions.
The first is a philosophical question. How do we know that Shlomo will be king? Yeah, we learned about it last week. If you recall last week, we learned about it on the second page. We learned from Divrei HaYamim, right? That there was a nevuah. There was a prophecy that Shlomo was to be the intended ruler of Israel. Correct?
So,
David did. Here, look on the page 2 that I gave you. Here. Howard, look on page 2. Page 2. Here we are. Pasuk Zayin, Vayomer David b'Shlomo b'ni. David said to Shlomo, my son, Ani hayayin m'ravi v'tnot bayit v'shem Hashem Elokai. I really wanted to build a Beis HaMikdash, to build a house to God. Vayi alai devar Hashem le'mor. But God came to me and said, Dam l'rav shafachta u'melchamot gedolot ashita. Sorry, you spilt too much blood. You waged too many wars. Lo tivne bayit l'shmi. You may not build a house to my name, because you spilled too much blood. But 9, verse 9, behold, you will have a son. Who he will be a man of peace, of rest. His name will be Shlomo. V'shalom v'sheket etein al Yisrael b'yamav, and he will have peace during his days. Who yivne bayit lishmi? Who yiyah levidi the ben? Va'ani ayyah lo la'av. He will be a son to me and I will be a father to him. Va'akinoti mikisei malchuto al Yisrael ad olam. And he and his chair and his descendants will be the king of Israel forever. So according to God, who is destined to be the king of Israel?
Shlomo. Why does
Have a yod in it? Well, I don't know. Good question. So, if God himself has guaranteed, promised, prophecies that Shlomo will be the son, how much effort and energy do they have to invest? What are the odds that Adoniyahu will become king? You understand my question? There's a prophecy. There's a guarantee from God. God said, it's going to happen.
But the question is, who knows about it?
Does Natan the prophet know about it?
Yeah.
Yes. Good. Who instigates this whole, how shall we say, episode? Who starts it? Who brings it up? No, I don't know. Adoniyahu is trying to become king. But who starts the whole, hey, let's go to the king, then you gotta worry about it, then you're gonna get killed? He himself does it, not time. What's he worried about?
Well,
he's the prophet, yeah.
If there's prophecy that something's going to happen,
uh-huh,
but the person of the prophecy has not been born yet, does Hashem have to make the person be what he wants him to be? No, that's what if Shlomo turned out to be like Adoniyah. I mean, so is Shlomo to be made before he's even conceived?
You're just taking my question and expanding it wonderfully. Wonderfully. You know, that's the question. Right. You know, God comes to, you know, Abraham and says, you will have a son, his name will be Yitzchak, and he's going to be great. What if Yitzchak wasn't, you know, Chasidim? Right. Didn't work out. God, I changed my mind. I'm picking Yishmael. You know what I'm saying?
I think by nature of the fact that he said he's going to do it, he will turn out that way.
He will. Right. So the answer seems to be, there had to be a son named Shlomo, and the son named Shlomo had to be
then are we
worthy,
predetermined to be...
Well, there's no prophecy about you or me.
No, I understand, but If Hashem made someone before he's even conceived, the person that he's going to be,
yeah,
then we are all...
Well, he never promised that this guy Shlomo is going to be good at what he does. He promised that he'll have quiet and he'll build the base on Migdash. Is that the Shlomo?
So if he was a Shlomo...
That's
a,
by the way, what do you think the whole book of Kohelet is all about? Here's poor Shlomo. He's got the monarchy. Now he's only stuck with one important question. What kind of Shlomo do I want to be? That's a great question. You know, so God promises the circumstances. But he certainly does not... There's a wide latitude for Shlomo to decide what it is he wants to do with what he has. So you could argue and say, yes, your situation is to some degree predetermined, even if there is no prophecy. But that what you do with it, the choices you make about it, what you're going to live based on your factors, your situation, that's all up to you.
But if he's going to have a reign of peace and harmony and goodness, he better not be an evil person.
Excuse me, who said that? He could have a reign of harmony and peace and be a philanderer. Or you could have the reign of harmony and peace and be an upstanding and moral individual. Isn't that his choice? Doesn't it?
I guess.
Right, exactly. And the ramifications will come later on. You know, that's always a possibility. But I'm still stuck with the fundamental question. I love asking questions I don't have the answer to. There's no simple answer to this question. If Natan knew that there would be a prophecy, and he knew the prophecy was that Shlomo would be king, how could he fear that Adonijah would get control and kill Shlomo?
Maybe because of the fickleness of David. David could be fickle in his old age. He might say, what's preventing
so God is wrong? Oops.
No, not that God is wrong, but, well, maybe I made a mistake and should have named Adonijah Shlomo.
I mean, Adonijah just changed his name. He's Shlomo. Right. Shlomo Adonijah, and then I just think it's a very it goes to the question that you asked in general in life. But to what degree must we make an effort for things that are guaranteed to us? You know, I was talking with somebody about the bringing of Mashiach. So God guarantees that the Mashiach will come on either one way or another, either a dor shekulo zakai or a dor shekulo chayav, either an entirely meritorious generation. Or a generation that's got nothing. So he said that he once went to Rosh Yeshiva and he said, I don't understand, do you want Mashiach to come? He said, yeah. He said, then do me a favor, stop the kirum, stop the learning, because we're 90% there anyway. You know, you guys who are doing all the learning of the Torah, you're preventing us from getting to Mashiach. Why? Because as long as you keep doing it, then we're not going to be a Dor Shekulo Kulo Chayav.
Oh my.
No, you don't agree? Yeah, I don't either.
Why is everybody saying we have all these campaigns about Lashon Hara and don't say anything because we might offend, you know, accidentally say Lashon Hara?
Right.
You know, all these things that people are doing, saying that this is going to bring Mashiach. We'll do this.
That's another discussion, which I'm sure I love talking about it at some other time. But there's another discussion. I think, by the way, it's interesting that great men, even when they were made promises by God, they didn't like to rely on them. So it's very interesting because, you know, in the brief man of Isharim, in the covenant between Abraham, it's in this week's parsha, God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. And I'm going to, you know, you're going to have children, the stars, the sun, the sky, whatever, right? And Abraham, the next word says, Bameh Eidah Ki Irashana. How do I know God? So, oh, God, what do you mean, how do you know? God just promised it to you. So one of the very famous interpretations is, what if I mess up? Sure, you promise it to me now, because I'm good, Avraham. But what about when I mess up? And so it's a very interesting, it's an interesting tug of war between having God's promise on the one hand, but needing to make the effort on the other. One could very well argue that is the struggle of religious Zionism in general. Right? Did God promise the Jewish people the land of Israel? Yes. Will we have it ultimately?
Yes.
Good. Sit back and relax.
No.
Sooner or later we'll get it, right? Didn't God promise? Does it have to come?
Let's make it sooner.
So why are we doing all this energy and effort fighting for? Give it back to the Palestinians. We'll be very happy in the United States of America. It's a great country. And why would I bother fighting? Because the answer is, Natan was correct. Yes, God made a promise. It will happen somehow. But that does not absolve you of your responsibility to ensure that it does.
God helps those who
in a sense, in a very real sense. Okay, other question is, if you were an objective observer, and you had to look at what Natan and Bathsheba are trying to do to David, what would you call it?
Conspiracy.
Why?
They're working together to get him, or they think he's conditioned to do something.
How are they working to do it?
By approaching him one at a time as if they were not working together.
Right. By approaching him, well, first of all, the whole manner of behavior is really strange. What should they have done?
Yeah,
he's gone together. He says, you go in, and then while you're talking, I'll go in, and we'll both say the same thing. And it'll be like a shock to him. Oh, can you believe it? Right? Would you use a word to describe that that kind of behavior?
Sneaky.
I was going to say slimy.
Sneaky.
Don't you think?
Sneaky.
What? What's that? This is the prophet of God.
Yeah. Okay.
We were talking in the coffee class this morning about rabbis raising money. So Mr. Middleman told me this morning, he said there was a rabbi such and such, I don't remember his name, nor do I want to. He said, oh, that rabbi, he was great at getting money because he could get down and dirty with those businessmen. He knew to talk to them on their in their language. I said, great. That ain't for me. Because what you then do is you sully the term rabbi, and it doesn't mean anything to anyone.
The names of the people, and he did down and dirty.
No, he said,
in a very businesslike way.
No. Yes. Right. Yes. What? No, I don't want to know who. Don't name any. No, no.
She said, I was explaining when I was
right, meaning would it be appropriate to me, some guy says, hey Rabbi, we're having a card game, come join us in the card game and maybe we'll talk about your project. So would that be appropriate?
I don't think a rabbi would go.
Well, that's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. Would, I don't know. Should? No. Why? Because the idea is you're supposed to represent something higher. And here, what do you have? Natan the prophet of God, who castigates David for immoral behavior. Yeah, first you go, and then I'll go, and then we'll all go, and then we'll trick him. No, what do you say?
He obviously knew who he was dealing with.
Oh, David?
No, Natan knew how he had to approach him.
Right, so it really raises the prospect of, do the ends justify the means? Do they? Now, the one thing you can say about Natan in this circumstance was he had nothing really to personally gain from it. It wasn't about himself. He went to Bathsheba about Shlomo. Although, on the other hand, you could say that he wasn't invited to the party, to Adonijah's party either. He was on the outs too. It raises a very, very interesting question. The Midrash says the following comment. The Midrash makes the following comment about Natan Hanavi's discussion. Steve, 1 second, blah, 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 blah. Here it says, Rav Shmuel, you don't have it, Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, the same Rav Yonatan, Mutar Lomar Lashon Hara al Baalei HaMachlokes. You're allowed to speak Lashon Hara about people in a dispute. Because how can Nathan come and say, hey, did you hear what Doniel did? Did you hear David? Did you hear? Lashon Hara. Why? Because Natan said, "Umatam, ani avo aracharecho meli mileki et varayach." I'm going to come and back you up. Okay, so we'll stop there. In this case, it seems that he felt it was permissible, but it raises the whole specter, the whole issue of the ends justifying the means in general, and that's another interesting discussion. Why did Natan feel it was okay? I mean, in reality, what would have been the best thing for him to do?
Go by himself,
or go with Bathsheba, yes, and say, David, we need to speak to you about this serious issue. Right. As opposed, it's just very interesting the way he says it. Okay. Vatavo, Pasuk Tedva, Vatavo, we're going to go a little quickly now. Vatavo Bathsheba El HaMelech HaChadura. Bathsheba came to the king in his room. HaMelech Zakeid Mo, the king is very old. V'avishag ha-shunamit mesharat et ha-melech. Remember, the Avishag ha-shunamit, what was her job? Human electric blanket. Okay? V'atikod bat-sheva, v'atishtach le-melech, v'yom ha-melech malach. So she bows down to the king and he says, malach. What do you want? What?
Go on.
How much is it going to go? Okay. Vatomer lo. She said, Adoni, my master, Atani Shbata Hashem Elokecha La'amatecha. You swore in the name of your God. It was just a way of saying, in the name of God, to your maidservant. Ki Shlomo b'mech yiloch acharai b'hu yeshev al kisi. You swore that my son Shlomo would rest on your throne. V'atai yurchet. Hinei Adoniya malach. It seems to me, from what I hear, Adoniyah has become king. V'ata Adoni HaMelech, lo yadat, hey, you didn't know. I have another number here if you're interested. Okay, you didn't know. Pasuk Yotet. V'yizbach shor u'meri v'tzon laro, and he is offering, he's slaughtering oxen and meri. I never remember what the word meri means.
Bull.
Okay. V'tzon laro, and sheep. And he called Abiata the Kohen and Yoav. By the way, why? What's the point of slaughtering meat? Why is that a big deal?
That's for a sacrifice.
If they didn't offer it as a sacrifice, so by Yizbach means they're slaughtering.
Right.
Okay. What are they doing? Why is that significant? Because unless there was a huge reason to celebrate, when did people eat meat in the context of offering sacrifices? Right. It was an event.
A celebration.
Correct. Nobody had steak for dinner. It was just unthinkable, unimaginable. And so if they're doing it, it's a significant event. And when they call all the people to join them in this festive meal,
they cook up.
So the cookout is for a reason. The tailgate party is to celebrate something. Okay. V'atachav Adoni HaMelech Einei Kol Yisrael Alecha. The eyes of all Israel are on you. V'hagid lahem mi yeshev al kisei Adoni HaMelech acharav. Tell them who's going to be in charge. I remember we discussed last week, we discussed the issue of why did David not come out explicitly and talk about who would be in charge. V'haya kishkav HaMelechim Avotav. If you die now without declaring a successor, Shlomo and I will be chata'im. What does chata'im mean? There won't be sinners. What does it mean in this context? What? We will be, well, exiled. At the very least, we will be removed. What is the art scroll translated as?
Offenders.
It means that we will be considered sinners. We will be considered.
This is
what that's the scene. What did Scroll say?
Sinners.
Sinners.
We'll be deemed sinners.
Deemed sinners. Fine. Blah, 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 blah. She's still talking. What do you know? Natan HaNavi shows up. Oh, Natan, am I ever surprised to see you here? What brings you to the king's palace? And then they both ganged up on him, saying, "Hinei Natan." Oh, that's right. They told him, saying, "Hinei Natan Navi." Here, behold, is Natan. He also bows down. Vayomer Natan. The king Natan says, "Adoni Hamelach, Ata Amartu Adoni Yimloch Acharai, Hu Yeshev Al Kisi." She asks it in a very interesting way. She comes out and says, "Hey." You promised! What's going on? What does he say?
Did you say what's going on?
No, he didn't say that.
I
don't remember you saying Adoniyah is going to be in charge. Right. Because remember, he doesn't have the authority to question David. He's more of an informational question. We had a lot of conversations, but Adoniyah never really came up as a candidate for... Did you change your mind? And if you did, you know... You didn't tell me.
Cup.
What?
It's like good cop, bad cop. You know, she's coming on really strong. He's sort of, you know.
Well, he's coming in from the emotional.
I wouldn't say it's like good cop, bad cop.
It is.
It is good cop.
Oh, okay.
Bad cop. That's right. What did he do? He arad hayom, he's not sure umari, but shalom arav. Did you know it? He went to offer all those, to slaughter all those animals. He called the army and Abiatar. It's a big meal. And it was inappropriate for Adoniyah to do that without the permission of the king. So for Adoniyah to do it implies, at least the people he's calling, he's the king. Vayomru, and they say, Yechi HaMelech Adoniyahu. Yeah, hey Adoniyah, you're the greatest. This is a great party. You should live forever. You should be the king. Chavab, v'li ani avdecha u'latanok ha'kohen u'libana ha'yahu ben Yehoyada v'lislamo avdecha lo kara. They always add this in. And all of your most faithful servants, your most loyal people, weren't called to the party. Ine et adoni ha'melech niya devar hazeh. I'm just wanting to know. Did you tell him that? And you didn't tell me? I mean, David, we're close. I mean, we're friends. I would have thought you would have told me. You know, I mean, you would have made a big decision like that.
Wait a minute. Isn't she there?
It's very possible that she withdrew. It would have been, I think, inappropriate for the prophet to speak to David in front of his wife. That's my guess. Anybody else have something else to say?
That must have been difficult with 17 wives wandering around.
They weren't wandering around. Okay. Right, the Radak says, if you have Radak, he says, it's not that she left the room, but she was a little bit of a distance away when Nathan was speaking. Therefore, he says, call her back. Get her back here. Call Bathsheba back. There's another reason why I think it would have been inappropriate. Why would it be inappropriate for her to be standing there?
Where the man
also? Yeah, Abishag. I mean, how shall we say this? The whole picture is kind of strange. You know, it's one thing he's lying in the hospital room and the hospice and there's dignity, but David is in a state of terrible loss of dignity. You know, the fact that there's a girl in his bed warming him because he can't get warm, he can't function, he just can't do it. It's a terrible thing. And we speak, by the way, about when people at the end of life, about how important it is to maintain the sense of dignity, the sense of human dignity. And poor David, he doesn't have it. So Nathan the prophet comes in, you know, and he's like, can you imagine God forbid if a person was soiled and the rabbi came in? You know, so imagine if a person had a woman in his bed to warm him up and the rabbi came in. And it must be mortifying in a sense. So one could well surmise she needed to speak to him, but when she was done, it would be respectful for her to withdraw. Yeah. I'm sorry, Mrs. Lawrence, you had a question?
No, so she's been in the bed with him all this time?
All time. That's your job.
Oh.
Well, she was a sochenet. She was a warmer. She was a
queen.
Human electric blanket. The queen came to talk to him, and she was one of the queens.
So she just stayed in bed while Bathsheba was talking?
She never married him.
She never married him, right. Yes.
Oh,
you didn't get that picture?
No, I just assumed that you
would. She would withdraw?
She would withdraw, because it is kind of icky to come in and find your husband in bed with.
And not in bed with. I mean, that's what. Would you think? I mean, this is what he was ill. He was at the end of his life.
That was his medicine.
Right.
So why would they have a woman bed warmer and not a man bed
warmer? That's what one. That's what they looked for. Why a woman, not a man? And by the way, they looked for a good-looking one too.
That's what it said.
They did. What? I guess if you're gonna pick an electric blanket, you pick the nicest color. You know what you like. I don't know. I really, you know. Because it would have been inappropriate. For the, it would have been even more inappropriate for the king to have a man. Much more inappropriate.
This private conversation. What was on some stranger?
You would think. You think that Avishad wasn't there? I always imagined in my mind, I don't have any textual indication.
The
Gemara talks about conversations.
It says it right here that she was there.
Where?
Right, that's not.
That's right.
She's right there. Why did they?
Yeah, she was right there. Yeah, I'm sorry. She was there the whole time. And they, yeah, no wonder I thought it, because it checks out. Right.
But it doesn't say that Bathsheba has moved away either until they.
It's clear that she moved away because he said call her, unless you want to say, hey, where did Bathsheba go? You know, like he's really out of it, but I don't get that sense at all. But you get a sense that that from David, from the, what he's going to say, that he has reinvigorated himself, that he is strong, that he is, you know, reestablished himself. Okay, but Yahweh Melodabi to call her, and she came. Chatzet, Vayushava HaMelech Vayomar, he swore and he said, Chai Hashem, as God lives, Asher Padat Nafshi Mikol Tera, who has redeemed my soul from all affliction, Ki Kashen Yishbati Lach Vashem Elokei Yisrael Lemor, Ki Shlomo B'nech Yimoch Acharai, Hu Yeshev Al Kisi Tachtai, just as I swore to you that it would happen, Ki Chain Eser Hayom Hazeh, that will do it today. You see, I mean, you can sense from his words there's a power of decision, there's a strength, at least an inner strength that's still there. She bows down to the king. Long live David, you're the greatest, I love you, thank you. David, king says, Ki'uli l'tzadok ha-kohen, u'l'tanatan ha-navi, you know the three guys that were not invited to the other party? Go get them.
But Natan is there.
What?
Natan
is there. Maybe he stepped back when he said, go call Bathsheba. Is that possible? I don't know. Kiru also is to his people. All right, so go call them all together. Lama Gimel. Vayomer Amalek Laam, Chui Machem et Abde Adonechem. Take all the servants. Veher Kavtem et Shlomo b'ni ala pirda asherli. Now you're getting serious. I want you to ride my son Shlomo on my mule. Right? Take him on my mule. Right? Vahoradetem oto el Gichon. And you shall ride him to Gichon. Gichon is a, what is Gichon?
Spring.
A spring. Very good. Now it's also interesting to note that he's giving very specific instructions. Okay, you put him on my mule. Why is the, what's the significance of putting him on the mule? Can you give me another example of someone riding on the king's
Mordechai?
Right. The idea being that this is something reserved for the king and the king only. So when he says ride him on my mule, what's that showing? No, that he only the king has the right to ride on the king's mule. Only the king. Right, it's symbolic already. Bum, 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 bum. Okay. One second. Right, why to Gichon? Look at Rashi. See Rashi on Gichon? El Gichon. Rashi says, "Hu Mayan HaShiloach." You might have heard of it. What do you know what they call it nowadays? The Shiloach pool?
Yeah.
You've heard of it? You've probably seen it. You can go there. Now the Arabs call it the Silwan, right? Right, the Shiloach. It's a place in Jerusalem today. Right, it's a major source of water. Why would they anoint the king at the water? He says, why? Mikan, from this, She'ein Moshchina Tamalachim Ela Al Amayan. We learn from here that they only anointed the kings by springs of water. Siman, as a sign, She'tzimshach Malchuto. And his monarchy should continue. Meaning, just as this water, this spring, is an unending spring, is an unending source of water, so too, symbolically, your kingdom should last forever. And that's why, by the way, water is a very powerful symbol on Shavuot, on Sukkot as well. How old is Shlomo, by the way, at this time?
Yes. Either 12 or 20.
Right. Most of us should say 12. He's a young kid. Right. So it could very well be that David was waiting as long as he possibly could wait. He assumed that Shlomo would be the king. But you know, you want to pull it off as long as you can, because he's only a kid. So David doesn't know how long he's going to last. Maybe he'll lay in bed for a couple of years. Right? Sees in his son. But when he sees that he can't do that anymore, then he says, okay, go take Shlomo. We have to get our act together. Okay. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Mashach oto sham tzadok ha-kohen v'natan ha-navi l'melech al Yisrael. And you shall anoint him, right? And the Shicha, pour the oil on him as the king of Israel. Utkashem bashofar, blow the shofar, v'amartem yichi amel ha-shlamo. Long live the king Solomon. Lamed hei, v'alitem acharav. Go after him. Ubabi Yashav al Kisi, Ruyim Loch Tachtai, he will come and sit on my throne. Voto Chiviti Liyot Nagira Yisrael Va Yudah, and he shall be the ruler of Israel and Yehuda. Lamed Bab, Bayam Benayal Ben Yodai Melech Avayom, Amen. You got it? Kei Yomar Hashem Elokei Adoni Melech. So said God, well, we're going to do it, meaning by God, it shall be written, so it shall be done. Lamed Zayin. Kasher Ayah Hashem Im Adoni Melech, Kei Yaim Shlomo. Just as God was with you, he should be with Shlomo. V'gadel et kisomi kisei Adoni HaMelech David, and his kingdom should be greater than the kingdom of David HaMelech. And by the way, is that an insult to David?
No.
Not at all. It's every parent's wish that their children should become greater than they. That's the one thing parents never have jealousy about their children. They always want their children to do more than they have, to accomplish more, to have more. Sometimes they want them to have too much, but okay. Now, it is interesting that David, in a sense, when he's telling these four guys, you're going to anoint Shlomo. When four guys anoint a 12-year-old as the king, right, he's really entrusting them, in a sense, to run the country. Right. I mean, I don't care how wise you are and how smart you are. It's too much. It's a lot. The pressure must be intense. It's a fascinating amount of pressure. So he's telling these guys, you're going to anoint him. You're going to make him king. You better be there for him. You better take care of him. Lamed Chet. Vayemer et Tzadok HaKohen v'Natan HaNavi v'Nehav v'Yodeda v'Akriti v'Apleiti. Vayarkivu et Shlomo al Pirdat HaMelech David. They put him on the mule. Vayaluchu oto al Gichon. They brought him to Gichon. What a crazy and plaity. So Rashi says, and I'm sure the art scroll says, did they say crazy and plaity? They translate it, or they say it's the Urim between them? Pasuk 38. What do they say it is?
Interesting.
They say archers and slingers. Crazy and plenty, according to the Targum, are the archers and slingers. Meaning, when you want to have an anointment or an inauguration, so one important aspect of the inauguration is you want your military leaders there as well. You want a sign, a show of force. Right? This is the power behind the state. Who doesn't have the power behind the state? Adoniah might have the party and the drinks. David has the archers and the slingers, right? Who would you rather have at your inauguration? I'll take the army, okay? Lamitet, vayikach tanok hakohen et keren Hashem et min haohel. It's a very interesting discussion. He took the horn of oil from the tent. Which tent? Which horn? Which oil? When is the last time you saw a horn of oil? When the last time in the Navi that we saw a horn of oil?
Was it to anoint David?
When Shmuel took a horn and anointed David. Right, so he must have. So the Machlokas, was there a specific tent that they kept it in? Was it the Ohel Moed where the Aron was? It's unclear which tent he got it from, but clearly there was a horn. And it's also clear that there was a tent somewhere. Why a horn?
Because it could also be a shofar.
What?
It could also be used as a shofar.
It's very interesting. If you haven't noticed, I don't know why it could be a shofar, but they know, because the shofar has two holes. You pour it down, it comes out the other end. It says, it's very interesting, it's a symbolic thing. We say it's in the essay, et shemach David avdecha mehera tatsniach. Right? The shemach David avdecha, the growth of David, you should grow. We pray this in Shemon Esrei. Meaning what? What does it mean that we want the growth of David to grow?
The dynasty.
Yeah, the dynasty. The growth of him, meaning what? What do we want?
What?
We want Mashiach now. V'karno tarum b'yeshua tefa. And raise up his horn with your salvation. Raise up his horn in salvation. Why are we raising up his horn? Karen David?
Unclear.
It could be the horn of David, meaning the strength. Horns represent strength. Or it could represent the anointing. But this idea of Karen, that there's a horn that symbolizes on the one hand the anointing of David, but the strength of David the same way. Okay? So he took the horn from the stand by Yimshach of Shlomo, he anointed Shlomo. You ever wonder, that must not have been comfortable. What does it mean to anoint somebody? Or whatever it said, okay? And the whole nation came after him. They're fluting flutes. Usmechim shinchag yola. It's like, great. Vatibaka ha'aretz b'kolam. The earth cracked with their voices. What's that?
They're loud.
Right. I mean, it's a very beautiful imagery, very powerful imagery. The ground shook with the noise, you know, that you could imagine what it was trying to convey. There was just tremendous, thunderous, tumultuous noise.
So Koha Am does not mean Adon Yahel and his father.
No, what happened to them? Mamalev, that's awesome. Vayishlam Adon Yahu, v'chol ha'kurim asher ito, v'hem kilu le'echol. So Adon Yahu hears, he is, you know, at this meal, they obviously are in some place, they hear this tremendous pandemonium noise. Now imagine you're Adoniah, you've just declared your candidacy for king. Okay, and now you hear, you're with your henchmen and you're all eating and celebrating and they're all l'chaim to the new king of Israel, we're going to make you king of Israel, Yechi HaMelech Adoniah, and then you hear, yeah. What? They love me. They love me. Right? You can imagine, and you don't have to imagine because that's exactly what happened. They hear this roar from the crowd, and Adoniah is like, you know, yes, this is the greatest. They stopped eating, and you have heard this so far. What could this possibly be? I don't know, Adonia. What do you think it is?
No,
they obviously, you're going to see, they couldn't make out anything specific. All they could make out was the crowd. Right. You know, it's like you're at the ball game, or I don't know, ladies may not be enjoying ball games, but you're at the ball game, right? You're getting your peanuts and your beer, and then you hear this like, ah. So what do you have to like rush to the concourse to find out? Was it good or was it bad? I don't know. Okay. Odenu medaber, they're in the middle of talking. V'hine Yonatan ben Abiatar kohen ba. Yonatan shows up. Bo ki ish chayel atav tov to us there. Adonijah says to him, hey Yonatan, you must be coming with good news. Pray tell, let us all hear. What can I tell you? Vayan, I don't have to. The Navi is good. Vayan, but you have to read it that way. It's written this way. Vayan Yonatan vayomer lo Adonijahu. This is that great word. He says, Aval. Right. That's like in the vidui that we say. Right before we start the Afsham, as we say, God, we would love to say, Tzadikim anachnu v'lo chatanu. That's that big word. But anachnu v'avoseinu chatanu. So he comes and says, Adoniah, I'd love to tell you what you want to hear.
However,
aval. There's only one small problem. No, not all that cheering and screaming and happiness. It's for the other guy. Aval Adoniah HaMelech David Himlichet Shlomo. It ain't you. Vayishlach ito HaMelech HaTzadok HaKohen VaTzanhan HaNaviu BenAyel Ben Yodada BaKvesi VaPlesi. They have the three guys you didn't invite, plus the army. Vayokivu oto al pirdat hamelech. And they also put him on the king's mule. Raim shichu oto tzadik ha-kohen v'natan ha-navi. L'melech b'gichon. And they anointed him. Meaning, what did Adoniah have?
A pardon.
Food.
Problem, yeah.
Right, he had food. Right, which is nice.
Yeah.
Very good. What did they have?
They
had the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and they had the oath, and they had the Bible, and they had the swearing in. Mm-hmm. And they are very happy about the Homer Kiria, Hulako Asher Shemata. That's what you heard. And by the way, he's now sitting on the throne. The Gambau of the Melech Lavarech et Adoniyahu et Adonainu HaMelech David Lemor. And everybody, all the, you know, here's my next Lincoln reference. When Lincoln first took office, he made a huge mistake. People don't realize this. This is an unbelievable thing about the White House. If you wanted to see the president in 1862, what did you have to do? walk in the White House and say, I would like to see the President of the United States of America. Anyone could do it. And the whole Secret Service thing, the whole access to the President being shut off, started when Lincoln was shot. But until then, they would have receptions for the general public on New Year's Eve. 5,000 people would come just to shake the President's hand in the White House.
Wow.
So you wanted to go, you knock on the door. So, of course, when the president when the newer president was elected, so what happened? Jillions of people, thousands of people came looking for
a job.
Yes, a government job. So as soon as Shlomo is king, all of the bureaucrats, I mean, you got to run a country, right? All of the bureaucrats, all of the, you know, positions and, you know, and assistants and servants and military and all of them, what do they do? Hi, Shlomo, you're the greatest thing in the whole wide world ever since sliced bread. Right? That's what it was. So they say, just as an aside, Lincoln's big mistake was when people came to see him, he met them all. When they were waiting online to ask for jobs, and he would meet with every one of them. He was a very sensitive person. He says, they all coming for jobs, how could I say no? So he would spend literally 8, 10, 12 hours a day meeting people looking for jobs during the first 2 or 3 months of his presidency. Until finally they told him, it'll kill you. You gotta run the war, you gotta run the country, then he decided to set aside hours to meet with these people. You know, it's just different world.
Sounds like the story of Moshe and
Doesn't it?
And
somebody should have quoted. He should have known that because he was a pretty firm guy. He knew the Navi pretty well. He really knew the Navi pretty well. Okay. Okay. So all the servants came. They said, I'm in the middle of Mem Zayin. Yetei Velohecha Hashem Shlomo Mishmecha. Shlomo should be better than you. Mishmecha V'yigadel Kisam Kisecha. And the king bowed on his bed, and it's all great. And the king said, Baruch Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Shanatana Yom Yesheva Kisive Nairod. David said, thank God that my son is sitting on my throne. I live to see this day. So, you can imagine, by the way, as this guy, Yonatan, is speaking, and you can just see Adoniah is sitting at this table, right in the middle of these tables, right? And at the end of the tables, you quickly notice, like, as Yonatan is seeing, they're like, these guys, like, slinking away in the back of the room. You know what I mean?
Gotta run, don't want to be caught here.
Right, and by the end of the whole story, it is, you should see it, and it's great. And at the end, you say, hello, hello, hello. Like, it's just him and Adoniah and Yoav, like, those five guys in the room, that's all that's left of the contingent. Vayacherdu, vayakumu, kol hakrim asher la'adoniah. This is exactly what happened. They're like, oh darn. Goodbye. Vayalchu ish ledarko. Each one went his own separate way. All of the great supporters, long live Jim Adonio. Did you hear anything? I didn't hear anything. Gotta go. See you later. Vadonio, you're arranged with Nay Shlomo. So Adonio feared. Why did he fear?
Because he's a
rock. What he would clearly have done to Shlomo.
He has a good
sense of what's going to happen to him. Vayakam vayelech, he got up and he went. Vayechazek bekarnot hamizbeach, he went to the altar, grabs onto the altar. Why does he grab onto the altar? What's that? Whoever said, by the way, that the altar would grant him sanctuary? Where's the idea of sanctuary coming? Where do you ever see in the Torah the idea of sanctuary?
The cities.
No, there's no such thing as sanctuary. If some guy comes, and he ear me clot, only for a murderer, but not where, that a shul should be a sanctuary. Anybody ever see the mass where like the guy went into the, no, there was like a famous mass where some soldier was going to be court-martialed, and he went into, during Father Mulcahy's mass, and he said, what? The mess tent is sanctuary? I'm not leaving. And Mulcahy will says, yeah, I agree, it's a sanctuary. I'm going to protect you. In that whole episode. My father liked mesh. Anyway. So where do you get this idea? It's very unclear. So, but that is the opinion of the Radak. That he felt, it's not that there is such a thing as sanctuary, but that the king wouldn't want to defile the altar by killing somebody.
Not only that, that's all he has near him.
What?
I mean, he made this. This is the mizbeach he made, right?
Rashi says, Gimel, Bekaronim is Beach. No, he went to Chayav Begivon. On his noon, I'm sorry. It was in Givon. Amar, he says, Harugei Beitin Nikvarim Bekivrei Beitin. Right? So he says, wherever I'm killed, that's where they'll bury me. Amutkan Ve'akaber Bekivrei Avotai. So he says, I'd rather he kill me here, and that way I'll be buried in Givon where my parents are buried, where my forefathers are buried. That's where his mother was from, or whatever. So he says, it's interesting, different than what we thought. Radak says, yeah, he thought it would be protected. Rashi says, no, he just wanted to die there. Let's just finish the parak. Nun Aleph. Vayugad Shlomo. Adoniah was scared. V'hine achaz b'karnot ha-mizbech le'mor yishaval v'chayom. Kayom ha-melech Shlomo yamit et avdo b'char. I want someone to swear to me whether he'll kill me or not. By the way, Adoniah, the one who, it's so interesting, he hires these chariots to run before him. Make way for King Adoniah. He's going to be the king. He's going to be the leader. All of a sudden, Shlomo is the king. What does he do? He, like, think about the picture, the image of this guy clinging physically to the altar saying, I'm not going to let go until Shlomo swears to me he won't hurt me. There's a word for that. What is it? What's the image in your head? Parathetic. Right, this is the guy that was going to be the king? This is the king? And you know what? Scary. If Nathan hadn't done something about it, I'll spare you another Civil War reference in case you want to. Vayomer Shlomo, Yimiyah ben Chayil, lo yipol misaro t'artza. If he'll be ben Chayil, strong, meaning if he'll follow the toe of the line, I won't touch him. V'im ra'ati matzebo, v'meit. But if I find out anything, he's dead. V'yishlachem el Shlomo, v'yiridu mi'olam izbeach. So they cut him down. V'yavo v'yishtachu l'melech Shlomo, and he came and he bowed down to Shlomo. Vayomer lo Shlomo, lech l'veitecha. Shlomo says, you know what? Go home. Just leave me alone. Enough is enough. I'll overlook it this time. Don't let it happen again. Okay, we'll stop here. Next week we'll continue with David's final message to Shlomo and what happens later.